Good morning to each one. Also bring you Christian greetings this morning. It's a beautiful morning and beautiful day and beautiful time to be gathered together again this morning. Also enjoyed the service this far and trust we can continue to find a blessing from the Lord, what he has for us. I know last Sunday that was announced that Brendan Martin was going to be here, and I was looking forward to that, but he's not, so here I am. He said his children have chicken pox, so he decided he'd be better off staying home, so it's probably wise. So that finds me at this spot again this morning, so I do covet your prayers. So anyway, but I have a lot to be thankful for. The Lord's been faithful, and he has laid a message on my heart this morning, and that I'd like to share. So I was thinking this past week of a little bit of our last Sunday school lesson last week, and I'm going to read a few verses from Malachi. I know we studied chapter 3 and 4, but there's a couple verses in chapter 2 I would like to look at. It was the first couple of verses I'll read here of Malachi chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." And we have the Lord speaking to the priesthood here. "If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and a curse, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I will have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. And behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. And one shall take away with you, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, we see here, if we can remember a little bit of last Sunday's lesson, well, we know the condition these people were living under. And we see here how God's wrath was kindled and he was pouring out his wrath on his people. And then you talk about this priesthood here, how they were, you know, very much violating God's laws. And they were promoting evil worship. They were making people, it said, to stumble. And they were not living up to what they were supposed to live up, to what God wanted the priests to live. Anyway, and we see here God just kind of like laying it out to them and saying, "Listen, if you're not going to listen to me, this is what's going to happen." Now, there's a phrase here that caught my attention, and that is in verse 2, it says, "If you will not hear, I will not lay it to heart and give glory unto thy name, saith the Lord. And that is the title of my message, "Give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts." Give glory. And that's what God wants this morning from, well, he wanted it from Malachi to the people there in his day. And he wants that from us, to give glory unto his name. And what's he talking about when he's saying, "I want glory unto my name. I want glory." And he warning the priests here that if they were not going to give glory to his name, he was going to punish them. And he gets pretty dramatic here. He talks about getting the dung and just giving it to them. And this type of thing was going totally against what God wanted. So what was he talking about? Well, we can look at how wicked the priests were here in Malachi's day, how they lost their first love for God, and they were not walking in his ways, living wicked lives. And what they were promoting and causing people to stumble, like I mentioned. Well, today we are called to give glory to God's name. And how is that done? How is that done this morning? Are we doing that here? And I like to take it, there probably could be many ways we could give glory to God's name. what the Lord wants, but I want to take it to worshiping. And that is my thought this morning. We are called to give glory to God's name by worshiping Him. And how is that? And worshiping God means acknowledge Him for who He is. And then this morning, I'd like to take our minds to worship this morning. And we look back here in Malachi's day, yes, they were going through, quote, some forms of worship. But it wasn't worship that was honoring, glorifying God. But it was worship that was polluted worship. It was worship that was going totally against what God wanted. And we've got to remember, these were God's people. These were God's chosen people that He wanted them to engage in right worship, right worship. So, this morning, how can you and I give glory to God's name? Well, we need to worship Him. We need to acknowledge Him for who He is. I'd like to just take a moment to kind of realize who God is. Well, we know who He is, but be reminded again that He is an almighty God this morning. God is an almighty God, almighty in wisdom and power. And also God is a creator God. And we know that. We talk about His creation. He created the universe. He created this world. He made you and I this morning. And the list goes on and on. So we have God, the almighty creator of the universe, who alone is perfect. And there is no flaws in God. He makes no mistakes. Everything He does is right and good. You know, He created the world in 6 days and it was good. We can go to Genesis 1. This is the God we're serving this morning. This great God. Also, another thing He did, He reaches down to sinful mankind like you and I. We talked about that this morning in our Sunday school. I love that. The refining. And He takes us and He refines us. You know, we have to come to God. I like the thought that came out. Sometimes we don't teach about God's part. How He takes you and I this morning as sinful human beings. And He refines us. He wants us to purify us and get rid of the dross that we so many times cling to. Get rid of the sin. And purifies us and refines us. And we become special jewels. Not just such a beautiful thing this morning. We're jewels this morning. We become jewels. That's what God's... And I don't understand at all how God would be interested in us as humans that so often fail Him so much. Well, God loves us this morning. He loves us, and that's He created us for a purpose. God loves us. So He offered us the gift of salvation that our sins could be forgiven. And we did that by sending His Son Jesus, offering a special sacrifice for our sins. So this morning we need to take seriously of who God is. And all we need to do is give glory to His name. And we go up here in Malachi, the priests didn't take it seriously. They didn't lay it to heart. They wanted to live their sinful lives and promote evil worship. And God's number one priority for His people. He wanted His people What God wants for His people is, and we read through His word so many times, that to have God number one in their lives and have a love for Him and serve Him with all their might. That is God's desire for each one that is here this morning, for you and I this morning. All He so much interested in seeing individuals that have Him number one and have that desire to serve Him. So we thought about who God a little bit, scratched the surface a little bit, who God is and what He has done for us. In return, He wants you and I to worship Him. And that is the heartbeat of God this morning. As He looks, as He created us, as He made us make choices, He wants us the choice to follow Him, but in return, He wants us to worship Him, give glory to His name. And that is, we are called to worship Him, our Almighty God. That is God's number one desire for His people. That is to worship him. And I hope that's why you're here this morning, brothers and sisters, this morning. I hope that's why you're here, that you're here to worship God. That was always God's desire for his people, that they would worship him. And when he created and put man on this earth, oh, I think what more God longed for is his people to worship him in return. And we can go through, I thought about going through pulling counts. I guess I won't do that this morning, but, you know, there was Cain and Abel. They brought their sacrifice to God. And what was the difference between Abel's and Cain's? Well, Abel brought his best, but Abel must have seen the importance of worship. Bring your best to God. So Abel would please God. Well, we know Cain brought his whatever. Abel brought the fatted calf, and Cain just brought in whatever, the seconds or whatever, and God wasn't pleased with Cain's, but he was pleased with Abel's. And we could go down through story after story, men of God that had God in their lives, that wanted to serve him, return and worship God. Well, this morning, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses there in Exodus 20, one of the first Ten Commandments is that thou shalt have no other gods before me. So we get a picture of no other gods before him. They were to serve the true God in heaven. They were not to serve or bow down to any images. These were God's special people that God was leading them up out of Egypt. These were the apple of his eye. These were his special people. And how he desired for his people was that they would get rid of the gods of their lives, not bow or serve any other image, and serve him. And that's why it was the first commandment. And I had to think about the day when, it was at 40 days when Moses was up there on the mountain, when he was receiving the law and the Ten Commandments. That very thing that God wanted his people to do, he comes down on the mountain. What does he find? He finds the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf. The very thing that God did not want them to do. They were worshiping something that they could see in front of their eyes. It was that golden calf. And you know how that story goes, how Moses was hot and kindled against the people. And so this morning, oh, the heartbeat of God, that his people would follow him and worship him. But we could go through so many times the children of Israel would turn to something they could see in front of them and worship that. Some for idol or some for God that they would see. God wanted a people to love him with all their whole heart and serve and worship him. That was the heartbeat of God and his desire for his people. And it is the same today, brothers and sisters. The heartbeat of God is for his special people to love and to serve and worship him. I cannot emphasize that enough. And I trust this morning that is why we're here, to worship our great God. I hope it's more than just something we do on a Sunday morning. We go to church because it's the thing to do. And a lot of us, that's all we remember, Sunday morning, we go to church. But I hope it goes much further than that. I trust that we're here because of our great God. It's because we have a love for him, and we want to serve him, and we want to stay connected to him, and we want to keep him number one in our lives and make sure there's nothing comes between me and God. And so that's why we gather in this morning. Yes, it's because it's something to do on Sunday morning, but because it's much more deeper than that, because we are here to worship him. And I trust that's why you're here this morning. And I know sometimes worship services, it would just feel so much better to stay home, or it would feel so much better. But this morning, I believe this, what God's desire, and I don't know how it looks to the eyes of God when he looks down and sees his chosen people that love worshiping him, want to be here, and are here worshiping. I just thought about that this morning. I wonder how that sounds to God when he looks down and sees Hyperion Street here worshiping. As we were singing praises and how the songs reached the ears of God. and how we opened God's word and read his inspiring word. As we got down our knees when we were praying to our services, we do over and over again. We know what's going to happen. And it's so easy to fall into a routine. But this morning, let's remember we are here because we are worshiping our Lord, great God, the God Almighty, the God of Jehovah. And I believe this morning it just pleases us, pleases God when he sees his people. And not just here, but all over the world this morning that have gathered into his house and are praising and worshiping him. Oh, that must be the beautiful sight to God to see. As he looks down, I could just maybe a smile of across his face as he sees his people gathered in for worship. And his name is being honored and glorified. And his name is being lifted up. You know, that's what God wants this morning from his people. He needs to be worshipped this morning. And that is God's desire for his people this morning. And we're here because we want to be here. Not because it's the thing to do or it's because we have to do. But it's here in praise and worship God. And I trust that's why you're here this morning. So that we're fired up, ready to face another week. And also, there's also the blessings of worshiping together, is being together with our brothers and sisters. Or I had to think of the other side. How does God feel when he looks down and sees the people here to worship? They're here. They're here in person, but their heart's not here. They're here in person. They're here because, well, it's Sunday morning. Where else would you, what would you do on a Sunday morning? But their minds are 100 miles away. Or they're here, but their minds are cluttered from the distractions that are out there. Or whether if it's the job or whatever it is, they're distracted. And how does it look to God when he sees individuals sitting on benches that they wish maybe they wouldn't be here? Or they're here, but they're not tuned in. And all they can think about is Monday morning. Or they could think about when they get home from church, their nap. Or they can just think about what they're going to do next. Whatever it is, and their minds are miles and miles and miles away. Now, how does that look to God when he sees his people not really in tune for worship? And I believe this morning, God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. Our Jehovah God wants to be worshipped. And I had to think of, I like to turn to Psalm 95. And it's one of these psalms that get me inspired about worship. I like to read this psalm, Psalm 95. It's one of us, a psalm of David. And says, "Oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as it was in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter in my rest." It's one of David's inspiring psalms. He lays out the invitation. Oh come, let us worship our great God. Come and worship him with praise. Come and worship him with gratitude. Come and worship with songs and singing and make a joyful noise with psalms. Why? Why is David saying we need to do this? Why is David sending out the invitation to come and worship? Because he says in verse 3, "For our Lord is a great God. He is the King above all gods." And this morning, does that inspire you? It does me this morning when I think about the greatness of our God and what he has done and is doing for us. And David is saying, let us get together and worship him. And that is the God we're serving this morning. He is great. There is no one else like him that could compare unto the greatness of God. And so this morning, the invitation is here for us all. Oh, come, let us worship. He goes on and talking about his greatness that is unsearchable and undescribable. God is a great king. He's a great king above all kings. He's the Lord of hosts. And also he talks about he's above all gods. And this morning, I think David's heartbeat was for, you know, he can look back and remember the times when the children of Israel had drifted away from God. There's many times we have done the same. We drift away from God. But this morning, why would we could turn to something else than our Jehovah God? Why would the children of Israel so many times turn to idols and gods that I guess they could see, they could feel, and they could touch, but they were dead. They were not living. But David's saying that the God we are serving is a great king, which is above all gods. And this morning, let's serve the Lord. Let's worship God. Let's worship him. And verse 10 talks about, the Lord said, how long have I been grieved with this generation? They would harden their hearts. Even though they could see with their own eyes the hand of God, they could see how God moved, was working. They could see his hand all around them, how he delivered them out of Egypt. And so many times in their hard hearts, they would turn their backs on God and say, I don't want to have nothing to do it. I'm going to turn and serve some idol or Baal or whatever it was. And the Lord would be so grieved with them time after and time again. So this morning, we need reminders of who God really is, and he wants to be worshipped. Well, this morning, why are we to worship our great God? Another thought I have is because we see his handiwork all around us. We worship him because he is a creator God. Verse 4, David says, his hands are in the deep places of the earth. The strength and the heights of the hills are his. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry ground. It's all done by our Creator God. And David says, we can look all around. We can see what God has done and is doing the handiwork of God. And then verse 6, he says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And can we say amen to that this morning? When we look aside of everything else, David is saying, just come and let's worship this great God we serve. Let us kneel down before him. He is our Maker. He is our God. He is the same God this morning that we're serving that created the world. He is the same God that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He is the same God that David is talking about here. And he is the same God today that we are serving. He is the same God, this eternal, ever-living God we serve. He is our God. And this morning David says, we are the sheep of his pasture. And that is such a wonderful thought. As we think about, we are his people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. What a blessing to be one of his sheep. To be one of his children, and having God for our shepherd, the shepherd of our lives this morning. What else? Who else would we want to have for our shepherd this morning that cares so much about us? So, O come, let us bow down and worship him. And all our worship this morning needs to go to God. Our worship this morning goes to our Jehovah God this morning, and that is what his desire for each one of us. Whether it's in a collective way or in our personal lives. Oh, come, let us worship. Let us worship. That's what God wants. Well, this morning yet, it's so easy to get wrong worship or worship the wrong thing or get our priorities mixed up. We could look at many Bible examples of someone else that people worship something else instead of God or just went through the motions of worship. And their true heart was not in it. And it's just so easy for us to do the same. It's so easy for us to, instead of giving all our worship to God, yeah, we might not turn to idol of a stone, but it might be something else that I really like in my life that really love dearly. That's pretty special to me. I almost worship it. And it could be various things. Well, this morning, the reminder is, let's worship the true God. Let's give it all to him. Let's worship him this morning. Worship him. I had to think of, in closing yet, even going back to up, over to Revelation 22, we have John. And you know, this angel was showing John all these wonderful things. And I just couldn't imagine what it would have been like to be John here. As he was looked at the beauties of heaven, as he looked at the pure rivers of water, as he seen those streets of gold, and as he seen the tree of life, and as he seen throne of God and the Lamb, and as he seen whatever, what else he's seen, that street of gold, the water and the tree of life. And verse 6, I'll start. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And this is what I want to note. In verse 8, and when I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down and worshiped the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And this morning you can try to picture John in awe. He had to be in awe at these wonderful things he's seen. As he went through and seen and what this angel was showing him around, he was awestruck. He was awestruck. And all he did is fall down, and he wanted to worship the angel that was showing him. And verse 9 says, then he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren of the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. John got a little mixed up and was ready to worship this angel. The angel reminded John, no, do not worship me. I am not the one that made these beautiful things. But he said, worship God. Stop. Do not worship me, but worship God. And we can't get our minds wrapped around the thought of someday that all will be faithful, that can stand before the Almighty God. And we can see him and be there exactly in his presence. And we'll fall down and worship him. We'll fall down and worship him. Not an angel, not someone else, but actually worship God in our Jehovah Almighty God, and fall down and worship him. But this morning, let's remember to worship our God. It's got to start today in our lives as we live our lives for him. Let's not let the things of this life clutter out our worship to him, because it can. It can. It can clutter out. And I think what God loves this morning, well, I know what he loves this morning. I had to think of Noah when he got out of the ark. And I couldn't imagine being Noah as well, coming out of the ark, and being in there for the months he was there in the ark, and finally got out. And he built an altar unto God and worshiped God. And the beauty, the smell of the sacrifice reached, and God smelled it and was pleased. And that's trust that would be our worship this morning. That there would be aromas going from our worship experiences, whether in a collective individual or in a collective way, that there would be a continual aroma coming from this building to God. And God would look down and be pleased with our worship, knowing that there's hearts and lives here that are in tune with God and want to worship him with their whole heart. With this, let's pray.